Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear us?
Are you looking for a book to boost your child's self-esteem and image? Listen to what six-time Emmy Award winner and Nobel Peace Prize nominee Shawn Duperin has to say about the Journey of Joy children's book series. She says, quote, "It's inspiring to find a children's book series that gets to the heart of why we're here and to enjoy life's journey. It is truly compelling. It reinforces your child's strong sense of self, the essence of what every parent wants for their precious child. I highly recommend," end quote. The four inspiring and beautifully illustrated books in the Journey of Joy children's book series, authored by Beth Donnelly and Dagny Grant, can be found on Amazon.com. Sharing the wisdom of positive I Am statements, these books are titled I Am Enough, I Am Unique and Awesome, I Am Great, and I Am Brave. Pick up a set for the children in your life today. Just go to Amazon.com and enter Journey of Joy series. That's Journey of Joy series. Welcome to the Echoes of the Universe radio show, brought to you by Matrix Productions. Conscious conversations with Dagny Grant and Beth Donnelly, sharing thought-expanding moments to nourish your soul.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Echoes of the Soul, brought to you by Matrix Productions. This is Dagny Grant, and I'm here with my co-host, Beth Donnelly, for a conversation with two people we absolutely admire and adore, Dr. Cheryl Hanley and Shenna Shotwell from Creedmoor, North Carolina. We have so much to get to with the adventures of these two, but before I tell you more about them and bring them on the air with us, let me say hello to my co-host, Beth. Hi, Beth. How's the world in Oregon today, my friend?
Hi, Dagny. My world is pretty beautiful here in Oregon. I'm feeling so grateful for the sunny day and the blue skies. I haven't seen the skies this blue in a little while. And I, like you, I'm really looking forward to talking with these two amazing ladies, friends of ours who we've known for quite some time and always interested in their new projects and life focus. So this is going to be an inspiring show.
It is. It is going to be really fun. These two are amazing women, and I think our audience is really going to be intrigued by what they're up to and their story. Let me first tell you a little bit about Dr. Cheryl Hanley. She is self-described as a wife, mother, a nana too, a chiropractor, daughter, sister, student, intuitive healer, brainiac, and almost fellow in functional neurology, an adventure seeker, a fisherwoman, a nutrition guru, a believer in essential oils, a believer in truth, and most of all, she is a conduit of healing. Cheryl understands the true healing capacity of the human body and understands how to help connect the patient with their true healing essence. Dr. Cheryl Hanley has been serving patients in North Carolina since graduation from chiropractic college in August 2005. Our other guest today is Cheryl's wife, and business partner, Shenna Shotwell. Shenna is hilarious, you guys, and her energy is absolutely contagious. Not only is she amazingly brilliant, but she's an incredible artist, and we're so excited to have her with us today as well to share her wisdom. Shenna has most recently been a partner with Dr. Hanley in the Creedmoor Wellness Center in Creedmoor, North Carolina, and prior to that was both in sales with Choice Computer Center and a senior field service technician at Tallgrass Technologies prior to that. Now, you have both lived with purpose. But you actually branded your intention with the phrase and website, Learning to Live Out Loud. It was in 2012, 2013 that the two of you began the planning for an epic and adventurous journey, one that brought you to the Appalachian Trail for a cause near and dear to both of your hearts. Your tagline then was, "We are learning to live out loud and we are forging the trail of equality, love, and acceptance we are telling bullying to take a hike. Now, since coming off the Appalachian Trail, you have expanded on the message of learning to live out loud, sharing the power of freedom, health, and happiness with a global audience. Now, Beth and I are so excited to have you both on the show with us today. And welcome and hey there to Dr. Cheryl Hanley and Shenna Shotwell. Hi, guys.
Woo-hoo!
Cheryl and Shenna,
how do you do?
Hi. Hi. Can you hear us both?
We can.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Thanks for
having us on.
Absolutely. Yes. Happy to be on the show in sunny North Carolina, speaking to hopefully sunny Oregon, California.
Oregon and California.
It is beautiful here. Beautiful blue skies.
Yes,
and yeah, it's just perfect. It's a perfect day, actually, here in the Southern California. Very, very excited. We're very happy and happy to hear that the recent storm did not take a toll on you guys in your area.
We're all good.
For anybody listening to this in the archives a couple of years from now, it is around the time of the hurricanes Harvey and Irma. And so all are safe and sound. On this plane. So, hey, you know, we're going to kind of free flow a little bit here to allow both of you guys to share your thoughts on these questions as you are inspired to chime into the conversation. But I want to start with you, Cheryl. We know that the Learning to Live Out Loud journey led you guys to the head of the Appalachian Trail, as I had mentioned earlier. Can you tell our audience just a little bit about what that journey meant to you? And then we'd love to hear Shanna's thoughts.
I would love to. Learning to Live Out Loud represents for me a kind of a state of mind, and it's that adventurous spirit, that side of me that doesn't want to do anything the normal way. And sometimes that works out well, and sometimes that works out in a challenging fashion.
Indeed.
So the Appalachian Trail was about getting out and speaking on a message that was near and dear to our hearts, and that was bullying. And it was about getting a message out. And like I said, we didn't know what we were doing, and so I came up with a harebrained scheme of let's hike the Appalachian Trail and we'll talk to people all along the way. And, you know, we told our story, and everyone that we ran into on the trail had their own story. And sometimes our story gave them permission to have their story. And it was all about, you know, understanding that as people, you know, we're not so different. We're all very, very similar, and that bullying was, you know, a thought construct that didn't work. And, you know, we stood out on the mountain and several mountains in between, and we just stood as source that there was an awareness that was going to come about, and that somehow we could be open and change some thought paradigms and raise a vibration. And, you know, a lot of conversations seem to come back to vibration. So for me, it was about deciding to do something different based on that state of mind of adventure and openness and happiness. And
yeah, and for me, I'm sorry. Did you want to hear from me now?
Yeah.
Totally. Hey, Shanna.
Go
Welcome
for it.
To the
Go
show,
for it.
Shanna Shotwell.
Well, you know, it was about spreading the message of bullying, because as we walked 500 miles, I mean, every person we told about the bullying either had firsthand information, experience with it, or knew somebody that had experience with it. So it's most of us out there get bullied in some form or fashion. I don't care whether it's a little kid at school or if it's your cell phone company badgering you about a bill that you did pay and they said you didn't. We get bullied, and it's just not right. It's about treating each other with kindness and, you know, do unto others and all that stuff. I mean, the trip was amazing. I am looking forward to doing it again. I turned 53 like the week before we went. I had no clue how strong I was, but when you get out into Mother Nature like that and it's you in a tent. It doesn't matter, you know, the wild pigs or the herds of bear or, you know, whatever it could be. You just really have to dig down deep and, or I did. I had to dig down deep into what I had.
I bet that's true, Shannon. I bet that you learned so much about yourself that you never would have even considered before.
Never. Dogney, it was amazing. You know, seriously, starting a hiking trip of, you know, 1,700 or what was
2,200 miles for the record.
Yeah, we have 1,700 left to go to finish it. That's what it is. But, you know, starting something like that, carrying 45 pounds on your back up and down these mountains, I mean, it was stunning to me. And so I really had to reach inside and find different bits of me that I didn't know existed. And I did call on my angels and ancestors daily, every day.
Yeah,
so
I think that's so cool.
And, you know, that's what it was all about.
It was like our little flap of the butterfly wings, if you will.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. Well, you know, I think it's so amazing that you guys love adventure, and I think it really takes a good adventure to pull up that spirit of courage in all of us, and I think we need that. And I also like the fact that you are really discovering how, you know, amazingly alike we all are, really. That kind of oneness thing kind of comes through when we start talking about the same subjects and finding out how people have experienced the same things that we experience. So that's all quite amazing. Now, I kind of have another question that kind of goes out from this a little bit. How has the concept of living out loud, the same concept, how has that evolved as you guys are continuing with the unfolding of your new project? And tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I can go first. This is Dr. Cheryl.
Sure, sure.
So for me, the evolution of learning to live out loud, has, of course, is a representation of my evolution. And it like I kind of mentioned a minute ago, for me it's about realizing everything's a vibration. And wherever I set my thought processes, whatever I'm focusing on, if it's something good, that's a good vibration, and it's a happy vibration, and it feels good. It makes others smile. They don't even have to be involved. And when I'm in my stuff and have my knickers on too tight, you know, it's hard to come into my existence without being affected by my bad attitude. And I'm clear on that, and I'm clear that, you know, that I make the choice. And so it's about living in the moment, being present enough to know that when my vibration gets off, I need to change it. And what I found is freedom, health, and happiness all exist in the same vibrational round. And even as a chiropractic physician, my patients that are willing to look at something different and don't focus on their pain all the time improve exponentially over those that are focused on how bad everything is. So,
oh, you know,
again,
that's
yeah, dis-ease being a poor vibration.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Doggy and I have constantly been aware of the fact that people are not always certain that they can make choices. You know, oh, I'm just in a bad mood, or I've always been like this, or I've always had pain there. But they don't realize how much a state of mind shift can actually help them in their health and in their wellness. I'm so glad that making choices is a big thing for you, because I think we can all do that. What about you, Shanna?
You know, it's the freedom, health, and happiness. I mean, I don't want to keep going back to age, but I'm 57 and I look around and there's so many people out there that just, they're held captive by debt, they're held captive by dis-ease, and they're held captive by crappy attitudes. We get bombarded daily with what media tells us. You know, right now there's never been a better time to recreate who you are. Do something that makes your heart sing. Don't sit behind a desk working for somebody day in and day out and just hate every moment that you're alive. Do something that really makes your vibration, like Cheryl says, come up through the roof. When you're happy, happy things happen.
What Shanna does in the practice is really quite amazing, Beth and Dogney, because I'm the doctor, but she'll tell everybody that they pay for good comedy and they get free chiropractic.
That's right. That's right.
So, and then when she, comedy has that vibration, laughter, happiness,
exactly,
smiling,
doesn't it?
And she'll stand out there and entertain the patients while they're waiting on me.
I do it every day. And I've always wanted to get paid to be a stand-up comedian, and that's exactly what I do.
Or something better, right? That sometimes, that's what I say to my clients, is that sometimes you're gonna receive what you're asking for, but it may look a little different than you might traditionally expect. And to allow it to appear in whatever form that does. I love
who
that.
Who am I to judge how my messages show up is my philosophy.
Yeah.
So
right.
Look for the good in everything. And that's one of the things I think we browbeat our patients about, not as much about doing their exercises, but just finding joy and happiness and finding things that make their heart sing.
Well, I think that's one of the things that we want to talk to you guys about is the chiropractic field. A lot of people think that that's when you have a sore back or neck, go to a chiropractor. But it's actually a holistic kind of field that also connects the mind, body, spirit, energy center. You know, the meridian system and the different points of healing in one's body. That it's much more than just dealing with the spine is a just thing. The spine is everything. It's our core, right? But what kinds of things have you learned just from your experience in the chiropractic field that's inspired you guys to pursue this expanded vision for the services that you are looking to provide in the freedom and freedom, health, and happiness kind of arena?
Well, this is Shenna, and I'm taking this one first because I'm not the doctor, so I get to speak from from layman's terms. But we've been in this business almost 11 years in a very small, very rural town in country North Carolina, and I'm going to tell you this: we, the people, have been duped for decades, okay, by the medical model. There is a big choice that people need to understand that they have. Healing this body most often does not include drugs and surgery. I think one time we guesstimated how many people have come into this office that had surgery that did not need it. And by looking at everything we had, we came up with a number of 97% of the people that came to this office that had already had steel rods placed in their back or fusion or whatever the case may be, did not need it. Now, because I'm not the doctor, I feel like it's okay that I say this kind of stuff. And just from what we have seen, people need to understand that there are health choices out there. Go see a chiropractor first and foremost. If you need drugs and surgery after that, that's a different thing. Now I'm going to turn it back over to the doctor.
Okay.
Well, you know, it's so true what Shenna says, and she does see it from a and I don't mean this demeaning anyway, she sees it from a layman's perspective, and she sees the rat race, and she was part of the rat race before I met her.
Mm-hmm.
When I met Shenna at 40 years old, she was on 12 prescription medications.
Oh, my goodness.
And, like, two to sleep, two to wake up. Lord knows, and I see that stuff come through my office all the time.
All day. You know, I bet we would be horrified to know the exact percentage of the American population who take medication to just manage their life. They're sleeping, they're waking, they're headaches, their stomach acid, their right. I mean, it's just
and every bit of you just mentioned can be changed with simple chiropractic adjustments. And if you could just imagine how many people in this country are on things like Prilosec and Prevacid for an adjustment that takes Cheryl literally maybe 5 seconds to do.
Right.
It works immediately, y'all.
Well, that's pretty.
Yeah, here's a statistic, and I haven't even looked to find something more recent. When I got out of chiropractic college, and Shana does know how to add. She's just talking. We've been in this small town for 11 and a half years. She does know that 2005 was 12 years ago. She does know that, just for the record.
Okay.
It went over my head, I got to say.
I'll take care of her later. Don't worry.
So in 2005, there was a statistic that I used to tell my patients regularly, and that was that the average American is on 19 pharmaceutical medications.
Wow.
19. And so I looked at myself, and I'm like, well, I don't take any, and I'm 50. And I know some friends that, and I'm not asking you guys how many you take, but I started going, well, if I'm not on any, and then I see my patients come in, and they've got these laundry lists that are 25 medications long.
Right. Just for the record, neither Beth or I take any medications between us. We're not on any prescription medications at all.
No,
I
we're not.
I was on a few, and I took myself off of them.
Congratulations.
Well, with my
Cheryl, so anybody who's listening to this, look at everybody around you, and they're on drugs.
Right.
Cheryl?
Well, it's
not a matter of whether you are addicted to drugs or not. It's a matter of whose drugs you're addicted to. I'm sorry. That's the state of affairs in this country. They want you on drugs. It just, you know, whether they're legal or not legal.
Okay, I'm back over here in my corner.
All right,
okay,
so we got off on a tangent.
I have a question. Cheryl, I have a question for you.
What have I learned in chiropractic? What have I learned that I want to
catalyst onto this next phase?
Am I muted? Hello?
No.
No, I can. I said I didn't think you could hear me, Cheryl.
Oh, I'm sorry, Beth. I didn't.
No, that's okay.
I
just had another question for you, but go ahead in that direction that you're on because I want to hear it. Sounds good.
Okay. So what came to me over all these years is it was almost like I was being browbeat by people being browbeated by the medical establishment, if that makes sense. So I started a specialty study in functional neurology. And the reason I did this is because I knew as a chiropractor our nervous system controls our body, but you know, what did that mean? And so I started the specialty in functional neurology, and basically it means I'm a brain nerd. So I understand how to turn thoughts into actions in our brain and what happens when that process doesn't happen correctly. And I now have a pretty firm grasp on personality disorders and tics. I'm not saying I'm a shrink. I just know where the communication malfunctions that has those things happen. And
mm-hmm.
also I understand how lucky we are that our brains work as well and how easy it is for them to get messed up. So my experience with over 2,000 patients has been that doctors don't always explain the importance of health challenges that people have. And I have become that liaison that tries to explain to patients what is going on with them and where the source of all this stuff is coming from. So just as a for instance, I was told by doctors when I was a teenager that I had this tendency towards anemia. And anemia is a deficiency of iron in the blood, for anybody that doesn't know. And so I always knew that I was anemic or borderline anemic, but the thing that they never told me was that this condition was one of the three top predictors of dementia and aging. So they could have told me as a teenager, hey, do something about this or you're going to get dementia, and I might have not been that stubborn teenager that avoided any doctor direction because to me that
right.
would have been valuable information.
Right.
So
yeah.
As a physician, I desire to make that different for people, and I desire to help people hone into how their body works as one whole system. It's not a combination of parts, and it has to be treated as a system with all
right.
things taken into consideration. You
yeah,
know, are you taking
–
go
do
ahead,
you
Beth.
Actually – do you have some sort of, well, do you have some thoughts, I'm sure you do, on treating symptoms versus treating causes? Because I know that that happens in a good way in alternative medicine. If you could talk to us a little bit about that. You're treating the entire body. And
yeah, treating the entire body is so helpful, because when you treat symptoms, you're never going to get the body to heal. Because symptoms are really the brain, the central nervous system's, it's like it's sending a message out to our body and saying, hey, there's a problem, and that's why you're getting the symptom. But when you go to your doctor and your symptom is my hand is falling asleep, and they put your hand in a brace just so they can try to, that doesn't make your hand stop asleep.
Put your hand in a brace. That's really great.
That's what they do, Doggy.
That's what they do for people with carpal tunnel syndrome.
But
they put their hands in
tone
to sleep.
I know what you mean by that, though, because, I mean, that's what, you know, take an aspirin to, not an aspirin necessarily, but Tylenol or whatever to do the, get rid of the pain. But what's causing the pain is like, well, what is causing the pain?
So I'm gonna look at the situation, and I used a bad example, but so if you've got pain and numbness and tingling in your hands, what about all the joints that are between your hands and your central nervous system? Because if your wrist is out or your elbow's out or your shoulder's out or something's wrong with your neck, that could be why your hands are tingling. And then what if you don't have enough B vitamins in your body and you're getting a vitamin deficiency, and that's what's causing your hands to tingle? Is the brace wearing at night going to help that? Is it ever going to help that? Is it ever going to make it better? Not long term. So,
right, and what, you know, what might be discussed is what surgery might help someone.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a brilliant idea. Let's reconstruct what Mother Nature or God did, or Spirit or Source. Let's try to redesign the human body. That's a good idea.
It is. Western medicine is pretty funny. You know, Western medicine is kind of crazy for sure. Just like Shana was saying, you know, it's Western medicine. You know, and there's a lot of good in Western medicine, but it's it can, you know, sometimes it's the politics of medicine can be messy.
You know, this is the thing for me, and I can't remember the exact numbers here, but there's a whole bunch of countries that are in the World Health Organization, known as the WHO, a.k.a. the WHO, not the band, but the World Health Organization. There's like 30 countries in there, okay? So the United States is number one when it comes to trauma care. Nobody can put people back together like we can. I mean, the Million Dollar Man, that's a real deal here in this country.
Right.
Now, why is it that we're dead last in keeping people well? Dead last, y'all.
Well, because
that 30,
no money
or I'm sorry, in that country of that list of 30 different countries, the United States is dead last in keeping people well. There is one reason and one reason only.
Money.
I'll let y'all guess what that is, unless you want me to tell you what the answer is. That reason is money. There is no money in keeping people healthy. Now, in countries in Asia, the doctors over there are paid by patients to keep them well. If a patient gets sick, they don't pay the doctor. And that's the way it should be.
Yeah. That's interesting.
That's what happens over there. I think that's the smart way, don't you?
Well, keeping people well is definitely, I think, should start first.
Exactly.
Preventative medicine, that cool. kind of thing. I think that alternative medicine is amazing, and I love to see people finding out how to keep their whole body healthy. I think that, like Dagny said, Western medicine it does a lot of good, too. I mean, if someone has a ruptured appendix or something, they need to go to the hospital and get the appendix out. And that's great. You know, Western medicine is wonderful for things like that. But I do think that we're so missing the boat. Just like you said, a lot of Eastern countries are way ahead of us when it comes to handling the stress factor, for one thing. And stress is known to have caused all kinds of diseases and be an instrumental in keeping people not so healthy. So I think that some of the alternative medicine that people can, not necessarily medicine, but alternative care facilities that can teach people how to meditate or relax, you know, do the right things for their body with their restfulness and also eating the right foods is fabulous. So I love what you guys are doing. Tell us some more about your work that surrounds the topic of being on the path to happy, because that, of course, to me, that sounded like something that would totally push the factor of stress away. If you're on your path to being happy, you're doing something good. So tell me about that.
So, yeah, because if health and happiness exist in the same paradigm, then where there's one, there's the other. And as a physician on the path to happy, what I've realized over the past 12 years that my gift is as an intuitive healer that does take in consideration all of these different aspects of the body, including the energetic aspect, and I put them all together, and those become the variables. And from a complete set of variables, we will choose a plan that actually has the patient get better.
Wonderful.
So, you know, one time you asked me, what would I tell somebody that wanted to excel on the path to happy, and you did just kind of ask me that. And, you know, whether happy is a state of mind or whether happy is healthy, it would be first make a decision, make a commitment to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Make a decision, make a commitment to be healthy. Then second, I would say surround yourself with people that share your objective. You know,
good.
I used to have a lot of financial mentors that would say that, you know, your income is the sum total of the 10 people that you hang out with the most.
Yeah. True.
And so it's kind of the same with your happiness. It's hard to be happy if you hang out with a bunch of grumps. It's hard to be healthy if you hang out with a bunch of people that eat Bojangles every day.
Well, right. And if you are consistently working to keep your energetic level at happy or love or above, as they say on the vibrational scale, then
yes,
you're going to be in a position that's going to be really great for you and probably for anybody that comes in your general area, because
yes,
it'll have an effect on them as well.
Yeah, and so my third point would have been to do something every day that makes your heart sing. So you can
cool.
achieve that vibration. If you have a cruddy day, decide in the moment to change it.
Right.
Do something that makes your heart sing. And if you can't find a way to do those things, then find somebody that can help you do those things. You know what I mean?
What do you do, Cheryl? You're number three. What do you find that makes your heart sing?
That makes my heart sing? Playing with my animals makes my heart sing. And I know if nothing else, I choose any other desire, that all I have to do is look at them and realize how perfect and beautiful and loving and full of light they are.
That is so cool. I totally agree with that.
Yeah, I love that. That's
one of the things that I do, the work that Beth and I do, it's a
key thing is the connection of the energy of our animals, of our dogs. Where they're just, you know, they're a natural part of our work. Let me ask you this, though, on this topic. If someone is having migraines and or someone just has a consistent lower back pain, they're just in pain all the damn time, right? Just the concept of being on the path to happy can sound to someone in that position as a little bit trite. When you're just in a constant level 10 pain, what would you say to those people to just put a foot on the path to happy, to just start with what's one thing they can do to move forward to really serving themselves and getting on the other side of this temporary, what can be a temporary experience for them?
The biggest thing I would say in that one, because you picked an easy one for me, migraines and low back pain, and I don't mean to demean anyone's pain, I'm just good at helping with those. The first thing I would say is go to a chiropractor. If that's what's going on, if you have physical pain in your body, if your body is not acting like you want your body to act, go see somebody who works with your nervous system. It controls your entire body. Not a neurologist, go see a chiropractor. The difference between a chiropractor and a neurologist is the chiropractor manipulates the skeleton to restore motion, and that motion allows the nervous system to work. A neurologist's specialty is fixing a nervous system that's broken. If you have physical pain in your body, go see a chiropractor. If I were remotely with somebody like that, I would be, you know, if I'm talking to them in a doctor capacity, I'm going to start asking them about their diet. If I can't physically lay my hands on them, first I'm going to go to their diet. Second, I'm going to go to their environment.
Okay.
Diet, because food just isn't what it used to be in this country.
Sure isn't.
And then once we get past that, you know, you have to look at the chakra system. You have to look at the energetic system. You have to look at the environment that the body is living in. And find out, is that toxic? Because everything in life in terms of health comes down to toxicity and deficiency. Do you have enough of the good stuff, and are you keeping the bad stuff at bay? Every disease process can come down to that. So if somebody is in a pain state, you have to be willing to do something that you haven't done before, or do something different for the situation to change. So
that makes sense.
If it's somebody with pain, yeah, that's where I would. If it's
so
if it,
makes,
it's emotional.
Absolute, yeah. I'm sorry. I was just going to say that makes absolute sense. And when you're tying that into freedom and happiness, The whole idea of sometimes our work environment, like Shannon was saying earlier, the work environment can cause so much stress that that's actually the trigger of the headaches, that it's really not physiological, it's stress-related in how that energy flows through the body. Or we're kind of depressed. We don't like how we're, you know, the experience that we're having with in a relationship or whatever, and that freedom and happiness can also really affect our body, and I think a lot of people are not familiar with the fact that energy, the energy of our environment, can cause us to be sick. It doesn't have to be a virus or a germ or a, you know, something like that, right?
Amen. I mean, amen. It's absolutely, it's a vibration, it's a way of being, it's a way of thinking, it's a way of existing. It's not an event. Living with nature.
I say read really good brain food, too. You know, if you garbage in, garbage out, no matter whether you're putting stuff inside your thoughts or you're putting stuff inside your gut, doesn't matter, garbage in, garbage out.
Oh, I like
that. It's the truth. So what I do, I pretty much almost every single night, I will read something really, really good for me before I go to bed, and that way my subconscious dines on it all night long, you know? So
that's
right.
Great. That's really
that's,
great.
That's what I do, and I write affirmations, of course, and I journal thoughts and things like that. So, you know, you're talking about the office and work environment. Sometimes there's not a lot that can be done, but
right.
A lot of times there is a lot that can be done just with the, you know, in my own little cubicle. I can focus right here and, you know, put a photograph up of some place that I want to be or some kids that make me happy or whatever it is. You know, get yourself some essential oils around your workspace. The essential oils, look, they're still finding them viable in tombs that are 4,000 years old. So, yes, all sorts of, you know, thieves and all sorts of different essential oils. They're still finding these things in Egypt when they uncover tombs, and these oils are still viable after all these years. That's plant medicine.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
right.
Plant
it's
medicine.
No
all
that. It's no accident that one of the gifts by the king was essential oil to Jesus, right? With frankincense.
Exactly, exactly.
A lot of people don't
realize
that. You know,
if it's good enough for baby Jesus,
oil.
It's good enough for me. Let me tell you that.
Well, I think, Shanna, let's move forward with what you were just saying there. A lot of people kind of see happiness as reactive. Like they'll be happy when a certain thing happens, when they get a different job or move to a different place or get married or whatever. How would you, Shanna, explain that true essence of happiness to these folks? Because I think that really speaks to what you were just saying a little bit.
You know what? Here's the thing, and that used to be me. Oh, I'll be happy when I have a kid. I'll be happy when I get married, and blah, blah, blah. I did that for a long, long time. And then I finally dawned on the fact that, no. I get to be happy first. And then when I'm happy, I attract the good things that I want to me because it is all energy. It is all vibration. Like attracts
right.
like. So if I have a crappy attitude, well, guess what I'm attracting to me? Yep, that's right, more crap, you know. But if I'm happy
right.
and I'm filling my energy and my surroundings and my brain with good, joyous thoughts, then I attract the good to me. So
that
we've got to be
so
happy
true.
First, in my opinion, you know.
No, I love that. And I just want to let anybody know who's just tuning in to the show today that we are speaking with Dr. Cheryl Hanley and Shanna Shotwell. Of learningtoliveoutloud.com, and on that website you'll be able to see some really amazing wisdom shared by both Cheryl and Shanna in the form of different articles and blog posts, and you'll be able to get a hold of them to see what kind of information might be shared between you personally in different services. So just so fantastic. I love the things that you share like that, Shanna. It's between the wisdom that you share, Shanna, on these kinds of topics and the amazing health and chiropractic and neurological wisdom that Cheryl has, you two make a formidable team toward the wellness of people that come into contact with you. And we are so grateful to have you on the show today. We just really appreciate you.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
You.
We're grateful as well. Yes, we are. We sure are.
I'm not saying goodbye, just, you know, saying hey.
Well, just being grateful.
There's one thing I wanted to say that really helps me to kind of be happy before the cart appears, okay? So, like, this is my analogy. If I go into a restaurant and I'm with my friends and I order my meal, then I carry on my conversation with my friends, and I have a good time, and then suddenly my meal shows up, right? So when I go into a restaurant and I order my meal, I don't sit there and twiddle my thumbs and fidget and go, oh, my God, I hope my chicken comes out right, or, oh, my God, I hope my eggs are good. Oh, my God, are they going to put the cheese on there right? I just don't know. People don't do that. People don't do that. We should not be doing that if I'm going to sit at home and go, oh, my God, I need a new car. Oh, my God, I need a new job. No. Put in your order to the universe, and then wait for the universe to deliver your order. It is simple as that.
Right.
Very nice. Very nice.
If you
Jenna.
Put in an order to the universe for a cheeseburger, go pick up the cheeseburger. In other words, you have to do something.
You got to put action behind it.
You have to put action behind it. You don't have to model it and shape it and mold it and everything, but you got to do something.
Right. Right. I love in talking with John Assaraf of the movie The Secret about the laws of attraction. He says that one of his favorite laws of attraction is the law of Goya, and that's that you need to get off your ass and take some action.
I love that.
Absolutely.
It is.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know, I really love what everybody's been talking about here with the law of attraction. It's so cool, and not being just in a reactive state all the time, but actually being a creator for your life. And I think one of the keys for that has to do with mindfulness. And like Shanna was saying, if you are aware of when you're feeling kind of bad, and then you can look at your thoughts. What are you thinking about? What are you marinating on that's causing you to be upset? So this kind of mindfulness technique that we can engage in on a daily basis keeps us in a good vibration. And I love some of those things that you were talking about, Jenna. They're perfect for giving you that little edge on vibrational attraction to what you really want.
Yeah, those are my life hacks.
This way?
Life hacks. Shanna's little book of life hacks.
Yeah, it's like to life.
Yes. So, you know, Beth, it's funny what you say because all, well, it's not funny, but it shows up in the body as well. And so one of the things that I guess I excel at as a physician, and I say I guess because I don't work on myself, I just hear stories, is, you know, taking that complaint, that symptom, and then tying it back into all the other realms of our body, into that vibrational realm. So where is that vibration hitting? And so, therefore, you know, if it's a conversation that you're supposed to be having with somebody and you're not having this conversation or it's not happening, is there a sore throat issue? Is there a neck issue? Oftentimes, there is an issue that comes up in the chakra system. If somebody is seething with anger, when they come in to see me, their solar plexus chakra is usually just totally contaminated. Their stomach is upset. Their liver is upset. Their hormones are way out of whack because this anger starts just seething in them, and so it's not just about adjusting their spine so I can free up the energy in their liver or freeing up their spine and the energy to their stomach. It's about identifying what it is that's having them seethe and then adjusting their spine, making difference to their nervous system, and then teaching them how to be in a different vibration of happiness, of joy, and all of those things. So, and all of it has to be handled because flat wheels don't roll.
Right. It's truly a mind-body-spirit kind of connection.
Yeah.
Flat wheels don't roll. Oh, my gosh, you guys are just so full of great little statements. That's awesome.
We're full of it, all right. We are full of it.
Flat wheels don't roll. Oh, my gosh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, we just absolutely have to allow a paradigm shift if we want things to be different in our lives and any aspect of our life.
So what kinds of things do you guys say to people who come into the office who don't believe they have the power to change their feelings and their beliefs and subsequently their health? What kinds of things do you say to folks to empower them to believe in the field of, you know, of potentiality?
It depends on how sensitive they are.
Yeah,
some patients are really fragile and sensitive, and some of them can take it.
As you can tell, Shanna doesn't talk to
ones.
So if somebody can take it, I'll just literally stand up there and do like Bob Newhart does in that skit where he's the shrink, and I'll go, stop it! And for the people that are more fragile, the most immediate thing that I do is I lower their threshold of fragility. Woo! I'm going to put it on my resume. Threshold of fragility.
Wow.
And what exactly is that?
So I lower that threshold by adjusting their spine and getting some of the pain out of their body so they can think clearly. And then an amazing thing happens because the first time that you adjust somebody, their body will come back with this amazing potential. It'll show them a body that's so free of pain and so free of symptoms that they haven't experienced in years and years and years. And it's very short-lived. It's kind of like you climb up my mountain and then the cloud cover comes in. What I like to explain to them is that is their potentiality. That is what they can have all the time if they are willing to change things. And then I say, and I'm willing to take you by the hand and show you how that's going to happen because I'm clear you don't understand that right now. You know? And so it becomes a process. We have to take out some of the toxic stuff so we can fill the deficiency.
That toxic sludge is... So, you know, in the thought patterns that they've been taught for years and years and years, and what I have found is when they build the trust in Dr. Cheryl, they build the trust in me, and they build the trust with our CA, And when that happens, they come in here, and it's a place, it's a safe place in our office. We have essential oils diffusing. People feel good in here. We have classic rock and roll going. We've got dogs in here. I'm here, you know. So we have people's guard, you know, come down. Yes, it is possible for you to be happy. Why? Because Creator made us all that way. You're not the only one that he said, oh, no, go forth and be happy, except you. You sit down and be mad.
Right.
So, and people, when they listen to Cheryl and they get the results that Cheryl tells them that they're going to get, and suddenly they start realizing that what we say is helpful information.
It's kind of like we give them permission to choose differently.
Yes.
Mm.
So
exactly.
We meet them where
Great.
They are, and then we give them permission to have a different expression, permission to welcome a different experience. And maybe that's one of our greatest talents, is giving people permission to be who they are.
That is one of the biggest things. Because, you know, we are who we are. We don't try to hide that, you know, we're a married couple, been together 17 years. Everybody in this little bitty town knows who we are. We are who we are. We are who Creator made us to be. Why hide that? We don't.
So we teach other people that same thing.
Exactly.
And and that's what Learning to Live Out Loud is really about, is we first give people permission to behave outside of the box. And then we teach them how to do the exact same thing. And in all of that, it's fulfilling to us. It makes our hearts sing because we get to see people's lives open up. And we do our part for the planet in that we raise the vibration of the planet. And we do a good job as stewards because we teach these people how to take what we have given them and what they have acquired and go forth and share it with others. And we teach them how to be good stewards of good energy.
Well, another thing that's a big part of that is that when people are in a pain state, it really is like losing weight when you're in a pain state. You can't lose weight like that. It's what do you call that? The R word, when you're constantly stressed
resistance.
Out, it's
resistance?
Released in your body, and it keeps you from losing weight. Oh.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember the name, but anyway.
Cortisol.
You know, when you're in
the
fight state, your body
cortisol?
Holds on to as much forces as it's got. So.
Yeah, the body won't, I mean, it physiologically, that's something people should understand about weight loss. You physiologically cannot lose weight when you're in a pain state because your body, it kicks out epinephrine.
See, I knew there was something there.
There's
yeah. So anyway.
Dr. Shanene.
I totally forgot. Where we are. I got off on a tangent.
Sorry, y'all.
It's good. I think one of the things that you said that I think is maybe kind of triggering people to go, what does that mean when you're talking about giving people permission? A lot of people don't even consider that it's possible to think about things differently. They're just in a pattern of thought and pattern of beliefs about how the world is that it doesn't even occur to them to think of things differently. And so when they come into contact with someone like you guys who give them options of ways to consider the world and their health and happiness, it is giving them permission. It's saying it's okay to think of this differently, you know, it's, you know, do what serves you. And so, yeah, I think that's really cool.
Yes. I like
it.
Beth, are you still with
us?
I
do, too. Yes, I am. I was just thinking about that permission thing. I think sometimes we need permission to be joyful because there's so much maybe tragedy around, and it's not like we're ignoring it or not discerning that it's not a good thing. But if we focus on things that we don't want, we don't spend time focusing on what we really do want, and our energy is diluted that way. So I think it's so important to have permission to be joyful and lead a joyful life. And you guys do that.
Oh, yes, we do. And that's the thing. If I keep focusing on the things I don't want, guess what I get?
the things
but
I
don't
want.
Right. I think that's so true. Yeah. Love that. Wow. We've been speaking for quite a while now. I hate to call this to a halt, but, you know, I would love to hear some final thoughts from both of you guys.
Go ahead, Cheryl, you first. I'll
wrap
it up.
Go first.
I get, you know, the one thing that I would say to people is there's a lot to know in this life, and we can't be masters of everything. And it took me so many years to learn to reach out and ask for help. And so my parting words wouldn't be so much to reach out and ask for help, although that's a really good idea, but to take on life. And really, I guess even allow learning to live out loud to have meaning for you personally. Define what learning to live out loud would mean in your life, and believe in yourself enough to give yourself the possibility for that to be true. Like Napoleon Hill, he's one of my authors, and he goes, what the mind can conceive and believe, it will achieve. So my message to everyone is, hey, you're perfect. It's your thoughts that are the problem.
Yep,
that's
and
great.
I think my message is that learning to live out loud is for everyone. We all have the capacity to learn to live out loud.
It's one way.
Nobody ever did any good to this planet by cowering in a corner and hoping that, you know, somebody wouldn't notice you. Don't do that. Get up. Go be loud.
There's not one single path to happiness, freedom, health. There's not one path. There's many, many paths. Choose something. Do it. If you fail, brush your knees off and try something else.
Go be loud. I love that.
Go
that's
be loud. Isn't that fun? And that's one of the things that reminds. Yeah, that's really beautiful. Go be loud. That's one of the things that I just wanted to remind our audience that the website is www.learningtoliveoutloud.com. And at that website, you'll be able to learn more about how to be loud, how to lower your threshold of fragility, how to the whole concept of garbage in, garbage out, and how to feed our mind, body, and spirit things that actually are nutritious to our being. And it's a great place to connect for a unique view on how to be on your own special, unique path to happy. Because none of us are meant to be exactly the same. We all have unique journeys, and be grateful for that. And like Shema said, be loud. Be loud with your own
tune into our
colors. Tune
into our adventures.
That's right.
What was that?
That's right. Well, thank you again so much, you guys, for being on the show. We have really we've really appreciated your sharing of thoughts and wisdom and good stuff.
Shema and Cheryl, I thank you so much for this inspiring hour and for all the inspiration and joy that you extend to all of the people that come to you for help. It is a privilege for us to know you and to have you on the show. So I hope you guys have lots of fun with your journey and your adventures, all your adventures.
Yes, thank you so much, you guys.
Thank you both. We love you.
Namaste, groovy day. Woo-hoo!
Thank you.
www.learningtoliveoutloud.com. And to our audience, we are always completely and totally heartfelt, grateful for you. And thank you for tuning in. And until next time, peace.
Peace, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in to Echoes of the Universe. Join us again for conversations that inspire you to realize your endless possibilities. Same time, same station, same universe.